The Lord has indeed blessed us richly. We're certainly feasting this convention. We're greatly privileged to have brethren from across the sea with us. We just heard Brother Robinson, and now we're going to hear from Brother Fred Binns, who comes to us from the Chesham class in England. And I'm sure that we're all going to receive a great blessing from his ministry. He too is going to continue this theme of the harvest that we heard from just the prior session. Brother Binns is going to speak to us on the subject, All My Harvest. Brother Binns.
Well, Brother Robinson has already a great burden of love to you from the British Isles brethren, but I have been specially commissioned by two brethren just to remind you of their great love for you. Very quickly, first, Sister Amy Pampling, who many will know, especially wanted to be remembered to you. She sent also her personal testimony, which we will give you later. Then a brother who's very dear to me, one of our French brethren, Brother Adolf Debski, took the trouble to telephone from France to ask us to convey his love also. He was here some years back, and I'm sure many of you remember him, and he particularly passed on his love and the love of the French brethren. The title for this meditation that we have at this session, brethren, is taken from the book of Ruth. It was part of the instructions that Boaz gave to Ruth, that she would remain until all his great harvest was in. And this is going to be the thoughts we're going to have before us, brethren, as we turn the pages of this wonderful word that we have. Perhaps we could read a few verses from that portion. You're all familiar, of course, with this story. It's a beautiful little story of one who was faithful. One who loved one of another country and origin and belief. But it's more than just a beautiful story or history. It's been kept carefully preserved, brethren, for we who are in the harvest period. It's our precious word. In the first chapter, we get the background. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man, Bethuel Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And so, brethren, as we remember, these two abode in this country. The sons married. And then Elimelech died. Then the two sons died. And then these three women were left completely alone in a strange land. And there the story really begins. The story of faithfulness, of love. Naomi, if you remember, gave the opportunity to both of these young women to remain in the country that they were brought up in. Both protested that they loved her and both wept. And then Naomi reminds them that there's no opportunity of another husband, she's too old. And she gives them the chance again to return. And one does. One kisses her. But Ruth, the record tells us, clave to her. And that's what we're going to think about, brethren, as we meditate upon this wonderful word that we have here. Because there's a deep truth here. We've been given a choice, haven't we, brethren? We've seen it in the history of the church. We've seen it in the history of the truth movement. The choice is always there. There has always been these two companies. The one who protests and weeps and claims affection, but doesn't remain. We remember the parable, don't we, of the wise and foolish virgins. And it's this dear heart of Ruth that catches our attention. It should be ours, brethren. And so shall we follow this beautiful story and see what the Lord has for us. It's interesting, brethren, that when these two left, there'd been a famine in the land. And indeed, in the time of the people of God, there had come a great famine of the word. If you remember, before the Lord came to these people, there hadn't been a prophet for hundreds of years, for centuries. But the time came, brethren, and we have it in verse 6. Then Naomi arose with her daughter-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people to give them bread. And wasn't this true, brethren? Hadn't the Lord visited Israel to give them bread? Didn't that very one come and say, I am the bread of life, and offered himself as a sustenance to that people? It's interesting at this point to just look back a moment and view these two characters. Elimelech, brethren, the name of the husband, is God is King. And the meaning of the word, or the name Naomi, is pleasant. That pleasant land that Daniel spoke of. So here we have it. Beautiful picture now, brethren, of that one who strayed from the Lord, was taken to a strange country in conditions of famine. And then he wanted to return blessing again. And this, brethren, is where our Boaz comes in. Boaz, who comes from Bethlehem, brethren. See, there's no carelessness in this word, this history which is written here. The characters are right. The places are right. We can put our faith and confidence in this wonderful word, not a cunningly devised fable, brethren, but an actual history of a people. Boaz, a historical character, the progenitor of our Lord, came from the right place. He was born in Bethlehem. Not an accident, brethren, just as our Lord was. The one, the bread of life, who was to come to give bread to Israel. And the record goes on. Wherefore she went forth then out of her place where she was with her two daughters. And then the testing. She brought them to that place of bread. And we remember, brethren, don't we, that the Lord came to give them that bread. But he came to a people because it was a harvest time. As this book tells us, this is a book of harvest, brethren. It's a book of gleaning. It's our book, because we are in this harvest time, which started 2,000 years ago and has continued and is still present today, brethren. It hasn't finished. We must remember that. This history is pertinent to us. And so the one who had come to Israel to give bread came also as one who had the flail in his hand, the winnowing fan. His fan, John said, is in his hand, and he's going to divide. See, there were two companies, brethren. There always have been two companies. The Lord is seeking not those who protest their obedience, but those who obey. And so we have this young woman before us, this picture of faithfulness. And her name, brethren, means friendship. And we remember our Lord's words to those who were faithful. He said, you were servants, and so they were. But now he says, I call ye friends. Friendship, brethren. And so then, Naomi, when she saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they went, the two went, until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this not Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And so he had, and so he was going to. See, there's no accidents in these names, brethren. They mean something. Israel had been going through, and was still to go through, bitter experiences. That pleasant land would not rejoice until this present work was to be completed. And Naomi, you see, is quite right. Call me bitter, Mara, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and so they were, brethren. I had all the oracles of God, all his blessings. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me? And he did, brethren. The Lord's own words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he testified against her. The Almighty hath afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Yes, brethren, a stranger, a Moabitess. Do we not see ourselves here, strangers, aliens from the polity of Israel, brought in? And now an interesting point comes to our attention, brethren. The arrival is quite significant, the time of arrival, at the barley harvest. This was the beginning of a feast, brethren. It was the time of the offering of the first sheaf, brethren. The sheaf of first fruits, a wave offering, which is described to us in Leviticus 23:10. This depicts, as you well know, brethren, our Lord. You see, again, we find this beautiful word. And that harvest continues. It continues for 7 weeks, brethren. The barley ripens first, and then 7 weeks, or approximately 7 weeks later, the wheat, the complete corn harvest, the wheat harvest, is ready and brought in. And around that event are the feasts of the Passover, culminating 49 days later, or seven-sevenths, brethren, in the Pentecost blessings. And this was the time that Ruth arrived in the country. Quite significant, brethren. She was going to meet her Boaz. She was going to meet the Lord of the harvest, the one who had brought bread to Israel, and was going to give her blessings of corn and barley and bread also, brethren, and feed her, and to take her as a bride. And he was going to teach her and allow her to glean in his fields and to work in that great harvest, that harvest which the prophets had worked on and sown on with tears, brethren, and others were going to enter into and reap. And so the timing is perfect, brethren, as this word is perfect. And Naomi, the record tells us, going on to chapter 2, had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, and the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Yes, brethren, our Lord was a mighty man of wealth. He was the son of Elimelech, God is king. And this great wealth he gave up, brethren. He came down to give us the bread of life. And then, because he was faithful, he was able to say on his resurrection, all the power of heaven and earth is mine. Greater wealth still, brethren, Yes, indeed, one whose wealth is unsurpassed. And it was this one who was to take up Ruth and bless her by bringing her into that closest of all fellowship to be his bride. And this is our Lord, brethren, who has all the power of heaven and earth at his disposal, ready to bless us, who desires us as his bride. Shall we see how he goes about it, brethren? Shall we see some of the necessary features of being that bride? And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go into the field." Well, that's a good start, isn't it, brethren? She's on the right lines. We know that. Because this was our word, our first word, wasn't it, brethren? When we got the truth, when we first came into the understanding of what it meant to be an Israelite indeed. Our first words, "Let's go into the field. Let's get into the harvest." To just commence, brethren. "Let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." What wonderful words, brethren. How meaningful to us. "And she said unto her," Naomi, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, or as it happened, was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. What a happy day, brethren, when we also alighted in that field. Not by chance, but by his direction. "And she went and came and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered to him, 'The Lord bless thee.' And then said Boaz unto his servants that were set over his reapers, 'Whose damsel is this?' And the servant that was set over her, over the reapers, answered and said, 'It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said to us, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued ever from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house.'" And so Boaz had caught a sight of this beautiful girl, this faithful girl. And why? Because she was there. Because she'd desired to be in this wheat field. You see, very particularly, this pictures the Gentile church. Yes, there were the disciples and the apostles who commenced the harvest. But then we remember, brethren, don't we? And I'd like to just read a little portion from the New Testament to depict this. We remember that the Gentiles, when they heard the word, how they came in, how they desired to come in and replaced Israel. You see, again, you see that there's this testing, there is this reminder all the time of faithfulness. Not those who claim they will serve, but those who get out into the field, who are there then in the house. You see, if she had gone away home early or had been disinclined to continue the work, she wouldn't have been in the house when Boaz came in. She wouldn't have been noticed. He would have been unaware of her presence and her existence. And so it is with the Gentile church. And I'd like to point just one of these Gentiles out to you, brethren. We have the incident I have in mind in Luke chapter 7, verses 2 to 9. You'll know the one when we get to it, brethren. "And a certain centurion's servant, who was near unto death, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loved our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." There was one of them, brethren. Can we doubt that after the resurrection, that this centurion wasn't one of those who were called. He was one who was already in the harvest. Here, an alien, a stranger to this nation, was blessing them, was desiring their benefit, was in a sense affecting the harvest work. He'd built them a synagogue to worship, to be with God. He was worthy. And that's the word again, brethren, we want, isn't it? Worthy. And so he was, brethren. And I'm sure the Lord realized, as he did when those Greeks came to him, that the time would be drawing nigh when Ruth, the Moabitish woman, would be ready to enter in to the harvest work. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter into my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and that my servant shall be healed. For I am a man, also a man, set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Do we get the message, brethren? These are the ones he's searching for. These are the ones who are anxious to serve, anxious to trust their faith to him, to get into that harvest field, to be with him. This was the spirit of Ruth. This was the spirit of those who will be called into the Gentile church. And so you see those harvesters when the antitypical Boaz came, and he came from Bethlehem, it tells us, brethren. The Lord, he says, be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. These were the disciples. Then said Boaz unto his servants that were set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And so they tell him. And so our antitypical Boaz became aware of us, brethren, because we now grafted in as wild olives now can be sustained by the root and fatness of the olive tree. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Important words. Don't go into another field, brethren, to glean. There's only one harvest field, and that's the Lord's. That's the words of Boaz to us. And remain fast by my maidens. And again we remember, particularly thinking again of this centurion who had the faith that Israel didn't have. Because this is what it's about, brethren. We remember the Shulamite maiden, a similar picture, who was close to the virgins of Jerusalem, and yet she was the one who truly appreciated the beauty of her Lord. And if you remember in that beautiful book, the virgins of Jerusalem came to this one and said, what is special about thy beloved? What is the difference? How is he greater than other men? And then in those beautiful verses, all symbolic, brethren, she describes the beauty of her beloved. These are the ones that the Lord wants. So we must also abide fast by the maidens of the harvest. And so we do, we stay so close to the wonderful truths written here for Israel, brethren. We depart not from them, do we? Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Pertinent lessons again, brethren. Our eyes on the harvest field still. And go thou after them, for have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Yes, brethren, we have said this. Is there not one here who has not said this to the Lord? We, strangers and aliens from the Father, once estranged in sin, haven't we said just these words exactly? How is it that we found grace? But we did, brethren, not for anything we had, simply because we were in the house when Boaz arrived. We were in the right place because we were seeking him. Our hearts desired him even before we had seen him or knew him. Therefore, at the time of harvest, because we were in the field and continued there, and then rested in the house in the evening, he came to us because we appreciated. And he's been with us ever since, brethren. And now his promises, this refreshing water is ours, brethren, that are drawn for them. All these wonderful scriptures that the prophets had recorded and were preserved for us, these are servants of the harvest. Those who laboured for this have drawn this precious water for us, and now we, the antitypical Ruth, can be refreshed from it. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Again, the wonderful pictures that we recognize us at once, don't we, brethren? The bride of Isaac. Same picture. Just another bride, another beautiful maiden that the Lord desires. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God, Israel, under whose wing thou hast come to trust. No need to explain these verses to you, brethren. We only need to think of them and meditate upon them now. And again, we remember that centurion who had done these good works, and he got a recompense. There's no doubt about it, brethren. He who had been quick to join into Israel, to stay with that Naomi class. Then she said, Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto me, thine handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Yes, brethren, we weren't like Israel at all. We were complete strangers, and yet we were this wonderful mystery that was hidden. This union, this making of twain one, is here, brethren. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Again, wonderful words, brethren. Haven't we feasted with the Lord? Haven't we tasted of our bread of life? Haven't also our experiences been the same as his? Sometimes bitter, necessary experiences, and yet always with the experiences, the sustaining bread of life. And so he did indeed reach her. He, hasn't the Lord fed us? What beautiful words there, this young maiden, this humble girl, coming to this wealthy, rich man. Just a servant, really, as it would be in those days. And yet the Boaz, this Lord, reaches her the corn. And so he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. We can say that, brethren, can't we? And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And so she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That would probably be a remarkable amount in the normal course of events, brethren. But then we're talking now of the miraculous. Also, it's worth noting, brethren, that this maiden was gleaning, and that's particularly pertinent to our condition now. See, he says, permit her to glean among the sheaves. You see, today, brethren, the sheaves are standing gathered in the main. There's not quite so much work to do. And I think it's worth keeping this in mind, that perhaps if we tend to get disheartened, and I apply this to myself, brethren, because there isn't the response. There just isn't the response. There are only scattered wheat ears that have been overlooked. Just a few. And so, among the standing gathered corn, we're yet invited to reap, brethren. Oh, what a promise. Because here are the blessings. Because if we so do, and this has been our experience, as our brother Robinson described to you, having started afresh with renewed hope, and with confidence in the Lord and faith, we've found indeed that the Lord has been letting drop ones and twos. We've had a wonderful letter from one brother. Our brother Bob intimated it. One who's had the truth, and he's going out into the field, brethren. He's written for tracts. He wants to tract. He's gleaning. If he's doing it, what should we be doing? There's a blessing there, and we found this, and we can testify now that this word of truth has been made real to us. We've been blessed because we returned with renewed vigour into that gleaning work. A whole ephah of barley, brethren, a full measure is given to us of blessing, not short. And she took it and went in the city, and if you remember, she showed it unto Naomi. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wrought thou? Blessed is he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. What a blessing, brethren. What a blessing indeed. This can be ours also. Who have we wrought with? Who do we want to work with, brethren? There's only one way to do it. That's to continue with him, with his reapers. We can truly say, brethren, if we are witnessing to our dear Lord, to his saving grace, to the wonderful blessings which he desires to bring from his great wealth to all mankind, that we have wrought this day with him. What a blessing, what a privilege. But it's only to be found, brethren, in the wheat field. Yes, indeed, brethren. This is a wonderful work. Perhaps we could turn just briefly now to John chapter 4, reading verses 31 to 38. This was the beginning of the harvest. Here was Boaz, come from Bethlehem, who'd come at the right time, the time of the barley harvest, if you remember. Who would offer himself as the first fruits. Who would continue to the end of the wheat harvest. And then would bring those blessings to his antitypical Ruth. Here we find him, brethren. The harvest is here. The sowing work had been done. For centuries the word had been given out, this precious word which we're enjoying now, brethren, which we're reaping benefit from now and being sustained. Here was now the Lord of the harvest. And he called his reapers. He'd chosen them. And soon there would be others. And it's significant that the first one to come from the Gentiles, there would be others from the Gentiles, was indeed a centurion. The record doesn't explicitly tell us which one, but I think we would have little doubt in our minds who Cornelius was, that we have not already read about him. 31 to 38, brethren. In the meanwhile, his disciple prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You recall the background, brethren. He was seated at the well. There had been already some wonderful truths dispensed. We haven't time to look at these glorious truths. We know them, the true worship, brethren. And it's the background. I just like to remind you to the harvest work. It was during the harvest work that these wonderful truths were coming forth. The water of life, that precious water that we've already seen is pictured for us in this book of Ruth, the water drawn from the well. And again, it's significant that it's not a Jewess, it's a stranger who's first invited to drink of it. The woman you remember at the well, the Samaritan woman, who had the Jews would have nothing to do with, and who had nothing to do with the Jews, a stranger from the polity of Israel. She was the one who was invited to draw from the water that the Lord of the harvest was making available. Disciples had been sent away to find meat. And so they return and desiring to eat. And these are the words of the Lord of the harvest now, brethren. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. This was the bread that our antitypical Boaz was going to furnish. What is it, brethren? Well, therefore, the disciples said to one another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? No, this was not from men, brethren. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work, brethren. To finish it. We're still in the harvest, brethren. We've got to finish it. That's the meat. That's the bread of life that our Lord of the harvest has brought us. Are we going to finish it? The day is drawing very close. Have we slacked our efforts? I've been among some wonderful brethren, and I know they've not slacked their efforts. They're wonderful to behold. Say not ye that yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. And he told them about this great field which has now been reaped, standing, brethren, but the harvest is not over. I sent you to reap, whereupon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye have entered into their labours. Let's just remember that, brethren. We may think that we're not getting very much when we're reaping, but we're sowing as well, brethren. There's another age to come. This is going to be true of us. Shall we just turn to those last words of our antitypical Boaz to close, brethren? Let us carefully listen to his wonderful words. It's interesting, though, brethren, that it's not now the words of the Lord of the harvest, but of Ruth herself. These are the words, therefore, that should be on our lips. She's speaking to Naomi. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he, that is Boaz, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. They were young men, brethren, when the disciples started out. Have we kept fast with them? They were young men in the truth movement, the movement of present truth. Oh, it was a young movement, brethren. Have we stayed fast with the young men? That's the message that should be on our lips. And Ruth the Moabitess said, and they shall keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Shall we do so, brethren? Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Ben. So Certainly we appreciate this wonderful exhortation. We want to be about this business. This is the commission that we have. We appreciate the ministry of our brethren from England, their faithfulness, their example to us.
Oh, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how we do now thank Thee that we have heard the wonderful voice of the Lord of the harvest. Now we have continued with His blessed invitation to be with Him, to continue with Him. Grandfather, that there would be, we would be, continue to be faithful to this call, faithful to every aspect of it, to our ministry amongst each other, as well as to the privilege of witnessing to Thy grace and truth. We ask that Thou would keep us faithful unto the end. We see how close now the day is. We realize that we must indeed ask ourselves what manner of persons we ought to be in faithful service. We ask, Father, that Thou would continue to bless us and to open yet our hearts more to receive Thy precious and wonderful word, which on all these pages brings us these wonderful and precious and necessary lessons. Help us to imbibe them. Help us to indeed to benefit from them, and then to go forth with renewed vigor and strength and determination, with unflagging zeal and with that first love, Father, for Thee and for Thy service, that we may bring blessing to others, that we may glorify and magnify Thy name amongst whom we live. Help us to be ever faithful, Father, to this wonderful call of our Boaz, our dear Lord Jesus. Amen.